Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We all know that tragedies happen, that bad things happen, but I think the most frustrating and awful thing is when something terrible happens that could have been prevented by quick response. And this is something that I can understand from Mary, how frustrated and angry she must have been with Jesus, because they knew that he could have prevented Lazarus's death. I remember that when my grandmother had three children that I had never met, these children were babies and died of childhood illnesses. And when the vaccines came along that we routinely use now to prevent measles and mumps and rubella, she said with some bitterness, it wasn't in time for my babies. You can understand Mary's frustration. Mary and Lazarus and Martha were very good friends of Jesus. They were the kind of friends that Jesus could go and sit with and have a good time with and could forget all about some of the difficulties of ministry. They never asked anything of Jesus except to take care of him and to be his friend. And this was something that Jesus had a wonderful respite with. So when they called on him because Lazarus was sick, you would have thought that he would have run to the rescue. They sent word in plenty of time, and they said, Jesus, you have to come right away. The person that you love, the person, your best friend is very ill. And Jesus delayed. And so by the time Jesus came, 4 days had gone by. He had been dead 4 days. The funeral was done. The body was put in a tomb. And the mourners were there. And Jesus comes. And you could just hear Mary's tone. If you had come on time, my brother would not be gone. I could understand that, couldn't you? And then Jesus makes an outrageous request. He goes to the tomb and he says, open it up. And Martha, Mary's sister, who's very practical, said, she figured he probably wanted to pay his respects. And she said, you know, by this time, there's a stench. He's been gone 4 days. You don't want to go there. There is nothing like the stench of a dead body. You don't want to go there. I remember when my sister and I had an apartment together, we had an older man who lived next door, and we hadn't seen him in a few days. And after a while, the apartment started to emit an odor. The odor was unmistakable. And so we called the super of the building. They called the police. They go in there. Fortunately, the man had gone on vacation, hadn't told anybody, and the only thing that was dead was the freezer, and all the meat had gone bad. But it was that unmistakable stench of rotted meat. You don't want to go there. She figured that Lazarus was beyond Jesus' help. And don't we have those areas of our lives that are beyond Jesus' help? We think that God can't address certain things in our lives. They're too far gone. My grief is too great. My relationships are shattered. My past is so horrendous. It's beyond anybody's help. And God cannot help me. And that's the great lie, I think, of this century, is when we look at evil, when we look at problems, and we say, it is beyond my help. I think the baby wants mommy. It's just beyond help. It's beyond hope. And we operate in that reality. But I'm here to tell you that there's nothing beyond God's grasp. Lazarus found that out. The family found that out when the tomb was open, and there's the rotting corpse, and God breathed life into that rotting corpse. There is nothing beyond God's help. I've read a wonderful book, and I hope some of you have read it. It's called Have a Little Faith by Mitch Albom. And in this book, he talks about a preacher, and he talks about his life. This preacher was one of the people who was beyond hope and help. He was a drug addict. He was violent. He spent time in prison. One day, he had robbed somebody at gunpoint who happened to know him and was another bad actor, and he realized that this person was going to come out and kill him. A wife did not change him. Having a child did not change him. And one day he decided that he'd better turn his life over to Jesus, not because he felt overly convicted, but because he was so frightened that somebody was going to come out to kill him. And as he waited through the night, a rifle in his hand, waiting for someone to come out to kill him because he had robbed them, he started to pray. And he said, "If you protect me, Jesus, I'll turn my life to you." Well, he had prayed that prayer many times, but this time it stuck. And that man became a pastor, and he pulled people around him that nobody else could minister to. God can go beyond the rot and stench of death, and there's nothing too complicated and too awful for God. Well, many of us can't relate to somebody who's had that kind of life, so I'll tell you another story, and this comes from a pastor. She had a father who had been a misery in her life. He was miserable from the time she was born. He was abusive. And when he was dying, she was asked to come by his bedside. Now, she had seen a lot of TV where when you go by the bedside of a loved one and you reconcile and it's so wonderful and beautiful and you can hear the harmonies of heaven. Well, that was fantasy. She sat by her father's bedside and she prayed and she held his hand. And he looked up at her and curled his lips and said, "Where's your mother?" and dismissed her from his sight. Those were the last words she ever heard. When he died, she said, we gathered round his the coffin, and none of us said flowery things. We said things like, "It's for the best. And now maybe Mom can get on with her life." And after she left that, she thought, well, everything's fine now. Mom's getting on with her life. But she started to have terrible reactions. She cried almost constantly. And sleep eluded her. And then she realized that she had never forgiven him. And she said, as God opened that tomb and the grave clothes were unraveled of unforgiveness and of hatred, she said, I found out that the only thing left was love. You see, the lie of this century is that God cannot reach certain places of our lives, and it's a lie. I think of the great Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who wrote those beautiful words today. Dietrich Bonhoeffer came to the United States and could have been safe. He chose to go back to Nazi Germany, chose to face almost certain death because he believed that evil would not have the final word and that God could speak even to that darkness. We seem to have all the hope in the world. I read obituaries every day, and almost always they say, well, the person has gone on to heaven, and we have this great hope that God has taken them to a better place and to a heavenly one, and yet we don't seem to have the hope for here and now. There's some tomb that remains locked beyond God's help. And Jesus keeps speaking to us and says, open it up and let me speak the words of resurrection in this life. What tomb is in your life that you said that's beyond God's help? Open it up and let God speak again resurrection power. Let us pray. Lord, for the parents today who have a loved one who seems beyond your help, I ask that you would plant hope and love and patience. For the person whose past is haunting them, I ask that you open up that tomb and speak life. For the one whose dreams have been shattered, I ask that you speak life. For the one whose grief has taken hold and will not let go, I ask that you stand with that one in grief, in darkness, until their darkness is turned to light. Thank you, Lord, that in this life, your resurrection power is at work. In Jesus' name, amen.